Bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. And would you be willing from your heart, silently, in prayer, would you say to the Lord, Lord, please speak to my heart tonight and draw me closer to you. Please speak to my heart tonight through the message and draw me closer to you. Secondly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message tonight exactly as you'd have him to, filled with your spirit. Simply means controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord in prayer, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Does anyone remember what we're calling this treasure chest here? Okay, God's treasure chest of promises. Lori got it. God's treasure chest of promises. And that's we're in a series. Now, I'm thankful that God cannot lie.
Amen.
Aren't you? And every word in the Bible toward us, the promises, God will not renege on that. Now, as we made the point the first sermon in the series, a lot of times people will renege on their promises. They'll say, I'm going to do this, and then come to find out, no, they didn't, or they won't. They won't stand behind it. But God stands behind his promises, every promise that he makes. And the Bible is full of it. This is God's treasure chest of promises. Ultimately, it's the Word of God, but we're going to have some items in here to help us to remember the different things that God has promised us. And if this doesn't bless you and encourage you just a little bit, there's probably you need to check your pulse. Maybe it's a little low. But I'm going to start in the way of review in this God's promise, treasure chest of promises. Do y'all remember these? Okay. Now, I really felt good about locking Ken up there for a little bit and getting a handcuff on him and a handcuff on me. And I realize that handcuffs normally means a criminal, and that's not the way, but in a sense, we are criminals before the Lord, right? Because we're all sinners. We're sinners by nature. We're on our way to hell. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But when we get saved, we get bound to the Lord, if you will. Not only, we made the point, not only in our salvation, because our salvation is secure. If you truly know Jesus as your Savior, if there was a point in time that you trusted the Lord as your Savior, you can't be unsaved even if you want to be unsaved. That's on the authority of God's Word. Because at that point, you inherit eternal life. Isn't that what John 3:16 says? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. It starts at that point. You know, people sometimes mistakenly say, you know, someday we're going to have everlasting life. And I understand that, and I don't mean to be overly critical, but it's not someday we'll have everlasting life. We have everlasting life now. Because when we breathe our last in this world, it says, hello, Jesus, hello, heaven. But when we got saved, we got handcuffed, if you will, to the Lord. The key was thrown away. I had Ken really worried here for a minute when I said, wonder where those keys are. But you get handcuffed to the Lord. But it represented something last week as far as a promise of the Lord. What was that promise? Never, he will never leave us or forsake us. Now, when he left this world, he left the Holy Spirit with us, right? Now, God is everywhere present. God knows everything, right? And the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. So there's nothing we can do to run away from God. Now, that's a comforting thought, don't you think? That's a comforting promise that regardless when we're in the deepest of valleys, when we're in a place that we could feel so isolated and alone, it doesn't matter. God is still there with us. And when we have problems that we may not even be comfortable with sharing with other people, God knows all about it. And God is right there with me. And boy, what a blessing. That promise that God will never leave us. And that's a promise that will stand. He's not going to renege on that promise. Because who is going to be in heaven forever and ever and ever? It says one of the big descriptions of heaven is that basically he will be with them and be their God. So we're going to be in the very presence of God throughout all eternity. Wow. This life is just a blip on the radar. But then eternity is spent with God. And he promises, even now, that he'll never leave us or forsake us. Now tonight, we're going to talk about another promise. And we're going to get it in kind of a roundabout way. Can someone tell me what this is? It's a picture frame. Now, I didn't want to put a picture in there because we really don't know what Jesus looked like. And we really don't know what God looked like. So I didn't put anything in there. But the point is, we're going to look at a promise tonight that God is working in each one of our hearts and lives. You know, we may feel like I'm just doing my own thing. Even if you're a child of God and you think you're doing your own thing, God is still working to get you back in line and get you right. And if you're trying to serve God, then you say, I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying to read my Bible. I'm trying to pray. I'm coming to church. I'm telling people. I'm tithing. I'm doing the five to thrive. Even then, God is still working in our hearts and lives. I mean, every day, we can't see everything that's going on. But the purpose of that is to conform us to the image of Jesus. And we're going to talk about that. The promise is God is working on us every day to conform us to the image of Jesus. All right? Romans chapter 8. If you turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, this is a very familiar passage. And we're going to have some really good little, if you will, sub-promises related to this. But this is really, really good. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Now, this is going to be pretty familiar. But boy, when I dug into this a little bit and I studied it, it's like, wow. It just kind of like, it's kind of like a flower that in the morning is all closed up. And then the sun comes out, and then the flower does this. It was kind of like that when I was looking at it. It's kind of like, man, I see this. I've read these verses, and they're good, and they're powerful. But when I read them in the context and read them in relation to one another, it's like, wow, what a beautiful passage of Scripture. The title tonight is God is Working on Us. God is Working on Us. And I would appreciate your prayers for Ryan. He is on his way here. As we speak, he'll be here just a little bit, coming from Indiana. So he'll show up in the back, and some stranger in the back. Good Lord, we'll probably have to unlock the door, won't we? I think he's got his key. All right, Romans 8, 26 to 39. We'll read these verses, and you're going to say, yeah, I'm pretty familiar with those. It says in verse 26 of Romans chapter 8, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, that would be a good passage just to read every morning. We're a little bit blah, right? I mean, wow, how many promises and things that are in that passage of Scripture. Title tonight is God is working on us. Point number one, the Spirit is working toward the goal. And you say, preacher, what's the goal? Well, I'm going to point that out first, okay? We're actually going to cover point number three first. You say, preacher, you're totally confused me. That's all right. I'm a little confused myself. We're going to look at the goal. What is the goal that God has in your life? Now, you've heard me say this before. Now, you could phrase it a lot of different ways, but in this passage of Scripture found in verses 29 and 30 is the ultimate goal that God has in mind for us. So, point number three, the goal is clear. The ultimate goal is in sight, conforming to the image of Jesus. Everybody with me on that? Okay. So leave a little bit of room at the top for points one and two, and then jump down to point number three, and then four and five will follow. Okay? I've even got Amy flustered over there. Okay. All right. But point number three, the goal is clear. The goal that God has in your life is clear. Notice what it says. For whom he did foreknow, talking about what? God, right? Now, God knows who's going to be saved because he's God, right? He sees the whole picture. That does not take away our free will to choose to accept the Lord as our Savior or not. I mean, it is alive Calvinism that says that only certain people within this box can be saved. And no one else is even going to be called, and none of those outside this box can be saved. That's a lie. That's trying to make God conform to our little pea brain of human minds and saying, well, but God is a big God. He knows everything. He knows who the elect are. He knows who's going to be saved, but he still gives us the choice. If it wasn't for the choice, you need to rip John 3:16 out of the Bible. And you need to rip Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to rip that out of the Bible too. So God foreknew who was going to be saved. You have the choice. Every man has the choice and can be saved if they choose the Lord. Everybody got that? I am vehemently opposed to Calvinism. It is a lie. It's led a lot of people astray. It's invaded a lot of good churches. It's not in the Bible, okay? You gotta take a lot of Bible out if you're going to become a Calvinist. But what is the goal? Point number three, the goal was clear. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. He orchestrated this to what? To be conformed to the image of his son. So when someone trusts Jesus, the ultimate goal, here comes that shady character, the ultimate goal is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. You know, if we've been a Christian a while, we ought to think like Jesus. I mean, we're not there, okay? We're not divinity. We're not God himself. But we ought to think more and more like Jesus. We ought to talk more and more like Jesus would do. We ought to discuss things more and more like. We ought to even disagree more and more like Jesus would when he disagreed with people on the earth, right? So we're more and more conformed to the image. Now, it's not a picture. Oh, I'm going to look like Jesus. I mean, physically. No. In the way that I present myself and everything about me, I ought to be more and more conformed to the image of Jesus. Now, that's the goal. The goal is clear. Be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Notice verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also, what? Called. And whom he called, them he also justified. That's to be declared righteous. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And the ultimate glorification is going to be when we're in heaven. Amen? All right. So, I gave you point number three. Title of the message, God is working on us. The ultimate goal is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. All right? Okay, now back up to point number one. The Spirit is working toward this goal. The Spirit is working toward this goal. Look at verse 26 and 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That's great. You got any infirmities? You got anything going wrong? You got any sicknesses, ailments? Yeah. Well, the Spirit's helping us. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. So part of us being conformed to the image of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is helping us in our prayer life. Even when we don't know how to pray. You know, sometimes I've actually got to pray and I'm like, Lord, I don't quite know how to pray about this. Because you ever been there? But God reads our heart through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit intercedes and takes our prayers to God clearly. And it says even with groanings, things we don't even understand exactly what's going on, but the Holy Spirit is working toward making us more and more like Jesus. You see, when the Holy Spirit is working and helping, we're conforming more and more to the image of Jesus. Everybody still with me? Okay. All right, the Spirit is working toward that goal. Look also at verse 27. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. God searches the heart. He knows what's going on with the Spirit. They're one God. It says, because here it is again, he maketh intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. To point number one, God is working on us, the title. The Spirit is working toward that goal. He's working in your hearts and life. If you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit is guiding you and directing you and telling you what is true and giving you direction in life. He's taking your prayers to God. Why? So that we can be more and more conformed to the image of Jesus. Point number two. Now, this is the verse that we lean on a lot. I would say I'd title this point, Life is working on us so that we reach that goal. The life that God allows us to have. There's a lot of things in life. I had actually on my point here, life/all things/circumstances. They're working on us too to get us toward the goal of looking like Jesus. So if the Holy Spirit, everybody still out there? Am I making, I feel like, I don't think I turned the air conditioner on up here and I'm feeling it. It's either that or the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure which. But the Holy Spirit is guiding us to the image of Jesus. Life is guiding us toward the image of Jesus. And that's why it says in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Why does he allow his children to go through difficult times? To draw us closer to God, right? To increase our faith, to, if you will, as it says in this passage, so that we look more and more like the image of Jesus. So, I mean, that's a pretty cool thought that God, such a big God, is working on me as an individual to make me in the image of Jesus more and more. Are we going to have to get up and do calisthenics? Ryan, you're pretty good at calisthenics. You want to come up and help him? the point tonight is the whole goal is what God wants us to look more and more like Jesus. Now, if we look the same way we looked when we first got saved, we're not letting God work on us. The Holy Spirit is working on us. Life, and that's why it says, and we know that all things work together for good. I mean, a lot of things in life I wouldn't choose, would you? I wouldn't choose it, but God says, hey, life's tough. I'm going to allow certain things into your life. I'm not going to cause them because I'm a good God, but I'm going to allow those things, and that's going to make you more and more like Jesus. So the Spirit's working on us to make us more and more like Jesus. Life, is working on us to make us more and more like Jesus. The goal is clear. Point number three, I already gave that to you. The ultimate goal is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Number four, God the Father's working on us to get us to look more and more like Jesus. Look at verse 31. It says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, a really good thing about this, God is on our side. He's not a mean cosmic killjoy up there wanting to spoil our fun, wants to bring that trial or that illness or that relationship problem in. No, he allows things to happen, but he is on our side. And if God be for us, who in the world can stop us, right? And God is working on us every day. God the Father is working on us to make us more and more conform to the image of Jesus. Notice what else it says. It says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do you know God the Father gives us the things that we need? And sometimes the things we need aren't the things we necessarily want, right? But he knows what we need because he's helping us being more and more conformed to the image of Jesus. Now, you've probably heard the analogy of a chisel, right? You know, a big granite stone, perhaps, and a chisel and a hammer, and God is rounding off all the rough edges of our lives to make us more and more like Jesus. God the Father is working. Go all the way into verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. You see, God is working in our hearts and lives every day. We don't know it. We don't see his fingerprints sometimes, but if we stop long enough, we might. But he is working on us. God the Father is even working on us to make us more and more like Jesus. So the ultimate goal is to be in the image of Jesus. The Spirit's working on us to make us more and more like Jesus. Life and the things of life are working on us to make us more and more like Jesus. The goal is clear, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. God the Father is working on us. He's on our side, and he's working toward that goal of being more and more like Jesus. But notice this, last point. Jesus is working on us to get us conformed more and more to the image of him. Notice verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So not only is the Holy Spirit making intercession for us when we pray, Jesus is making intercession for us. You know, we don't need a better go-between than Jesus, right? I mean, he's up there and he's like, hey, that's my child. Hey. And then it goes on and tells us, what can separate us from the love of Christ? You know, even though he may be working on us, even though it may seem like we're distant from God and he really doesn't care, nothing can stop the spigot, if you will, of Christ's love for us. Notice what it says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And it says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. This world doesn't like us, right? And would like nothing more than to stop the message of Christianity. But notice what it says. But nay, in all these things, we are what? It doesn't say we're conquerors. You notice that? It doesn't say we're conquerors. It says what? He says we're more than conquerors. That's like saying you're a champion. No, you're more than a champion. You know, you're a conqueror. What have we conquered through Christ? Yeah, our sins are gone, washed away. We have heaven to look forward to. We have peace in life and purpose in life. And it says we're more than conquerors. And then he goes on and even declares a little bit more. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, that's good, isn't it? Because death's coming, right? nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, even the evil things, evil demons that are around us and the devil himself, talking about powers and principality, nor things present, nor things to come. Guess what? You don't have to worry tomorrow about whether you can run from God's love. I'll settle it right now. You can't. It says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, God is working on each one of us. And that ought to be an encouragement to us. You know, sometimes when people struggle in certain classes, they have a personal tutor. You know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like God is our personal tutor, if you will. Now, he's more than a tutor, don't misunderstand me. But he's right beside of us. You know, we talked about the first promise in God's treasure chest of promises. He's never going to leave us. But you know what? He also is right beside of us, tutoring us, if you will, saying, you know what? My goal is for you to be more and more like Jesus. God is working on us. The Spirit's working on us, interceding for us, guiding us and directing us. Life and the things that come up in life. You know, we can look for the silver lining behind anything that happens, right? I mean, at the time, this is horrific. This is terrible. But God, according to his promise, is saying, you know what? I'm even using the things of life for good to make you look more and more like Jesus. Wow. Fourthly, tonight we looked at God the Father's working on us as well. He's on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? And he's working in our lives, and Jesus is working to get us toward that goal of looking more and more like Jesus by interceding and loving us all along the path. You know, we may feel that God must be mad at me because I got all kind of problems. Well, that doesn't mean God's mad at you. I mean, we can do things to bring things up on ourselves as sinners, right? But God is working on us every day. To me, that's a huge promise from God, from this passage of Scripture. You know, a verse that kind of summarizes that, I want to turn to it and read it. It's a pretty clear passage. Actually, we've looked at it in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. We're almost done. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Notice what it says. Being confident of this very thing. Now, who's he writing to? He's writing to Christians in the Philippian church, right? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, what? Will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord is working on us every day. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God has a goal for my life. Aren't you? I'm glad that God cares enough to even care about how I turn out. And I'm glad that I have a God that's beside of me every step of the way. Again, represented by the picture frame to help me become more and more conformed to the image of Jesus. You know, there's lots of promises and we got a long way to go, but keep that in mind, would you? God is working on you, turning even the bad things in life. The Holy Spirit, God the Son, God the Father, life all working toward making us more and more like Jesus. And again, I hope that everybody here is seeing a little bit of progress. We're a little thick up here sometimes, aren't we? And remember, I didn't say you were. I said we are thick up here sometimes. But really, God is pointing all these things and helping us to be more and more like Jesus. Now really, the more we're in this life, when things happen, we ought to respond like Jesus, right? The more we're a Christian, the more we ought to say, you know what, I can kind of see why God did that or how God's working, right? And our vocabulary ought to be more and more the way Jesus, the way we treat people ought to be more and more like Jesus treated people. But God is working on us. God is working on us. If you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. I'd encourage you as a Christian right now, just take a moment. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, would you take a moment and just bow your head and just thank the Lord that He's working on us every day? Even so much that He can turn even the lousiest of things in life into something good, so that we look more and more like Jesus in the way we behave, in the way we talk, in the way we think. Would you take just a moment, if you know Jesus, and say, thank you, Lord, that you care for me enough that you're working in my heart and life every day. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. If there's anyone here or anyone listening in by live stream who's never trusted Lord Jesus, the highest recommendation I can give you is to trust Jesus as your Savior tonight. He loved you so much He went and died on a cross to pay for your sins. So I'd encourage you, wherever you might be, if you mean this from the heart, you can call out to the Lord right now and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life. I want Jesus as my Savior. And if you call that out to the Lord now and mean it from your heart, you can be saved wherever you are. Dear Lord, we thank you for your great promises in the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you that you don't leave us the way we were when we were first saved. But Lord, you continue to work in our hearts and lives, Lord, to make us more and more in the image of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you take circumstances and turn those into helping us be more like Jesus. Lord, your Holy Spirit's working on us to be more like Jesus. Lord, you're working on us as God the Father, and also even Jesus the Son, Lord, is working on us every day to make us more and more like Jesus in the image of Jesus. We thank you for that. Lord, just guide us and direct us, Lord. Help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. And it's in His name we pray.